guys hear me from here? Oh, now you can hear me. What's up, ladies? We are going to have some fun today, amen? And we are going to be blessed. We're already blessed, but we're going to get extra blessed today. I am so excited to be with you all. It's an honor to be here, you guys. Truly, as Allie was saying, this moment, this day, this decor, this stage has all been prayed for. You have been prayed for. It is absolutely by no coincidence that you guys are here today. And I'm sure, I don't know about y'all, but I had some obstacles. That devil, he tried to get in the way today. I could not find my keys, Allie. I thought I was gonna have to Uber here. I couldn't find my keys. My car wouldn't start. And I'm like, I knew exactly what was up. I knew exactly what was happening. He was trying to stop us, but we're in the room, amen? We have the victory, amen? Amen. So I hope that you guys, you know, I don't know what brought you here today. Maybe you're like, oh, my girlfriends are gonna be there, so I'm excited about coming. Maybe you're like, I wanna take some photos. Maybe I wanna socialize. Maybe I really want the word. Maybe I really want the worship. Whatever you are here for today, you're gonna get all that and more. So even though everything's all cutesy and, you know, we're all girly today, I love a girls' event. But I also want you guys to believe for breakthrough today. And I'm talking to you guys because it's a certain breed of person that comes to a women's conference. You know, some you may be here because you were drugged by a friend. But sometimes it's like, it's the ones that are already like the good old faithfuls. So I'm just gonna assume some of you guys are in the room. You're the good old faithfuls. And the good old faithfuls, they're the ones that are like, oh yeah, of course I'm gonna be at the conference and I'm gonna be in 10 people and I'm gonna serve and I'm gonna... Hey, today is for you to receive. You're always leading. You're always pouring. Today, receive. So whatever you came in with today, whether it's thinking about tasks or what you're gonna do after this, or is your friend here yet? Should I text him? Can we just give God his full attention that he deserves today so that we can receive? I'm praying for hardened hearts to be softened. I'm praying for broken hearts to be healed, loneliness comforted, hopelessness filled with faith, shame reframed with confidence, aimlessness walking with purpose, lukewarm set on fire today. So let's lean in. So thank you to Mount Perrin North so much for having me. Pastor Kirk, Pastor Jason, Allie, Grace, the entire team. Thank you guys so much for having me. As Allie said, when we first met, it was me, Pastor Jason, Allie, and Grace. And it was just like we were like doing ministry together for years, you know? But that's the beautiful thing about the church. Like I'm talking about the capital C church. That's how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be unified. We're in sync. We have the same blood, same spirit, same daddy, right? And so I love how seamless it was when I was so honored to even be asked. I've been in this room several times before because how many in here go to BSF? Any BSFers in here? Hey, ladies. Okay, I haven't been committed. It's a long semester, okay? So I'm not exactly consistent, but I was in the Revelations one, and I love that Bible study, and that just shows so much about your church home. If Mount Perrin North is your church home, that says a lot about them because they're clearly all about the capital C church. It's beyond just who comes to their services. It's about feeding the kingdom of God. And so once again, it's a blessing to be in this house. It's a blessing to share God's word with you ladies. I do not take it lightly at all. Okay, I know you guys don't know me, so let me tell you a little bit. Okay, all right, my name is Kai Sowell. I have the honor of leading a church that is just about 4 years old called Live Atlanta. So we have a campus in Sandy Springs area and then one in Brookhaven and newly Peachtree Corners. And it's a lot has happened in less than 4 years. And so I lead alongside of my husband, Pastor Mayo Sowell, now Dr. Mayo Sowell, because he just got his doctorates last night. Yeah, I know, right? Listen, I promise you, I'm not up here like trying to brag, but if you knew what we've been through, then you would know it's a God is good, okay? So that's my little family abode. That's my husband. That's my son, Cannon. He's 9. And then my middle child, Brave. Her name is Brave. She's 7 years old. And then I got my itty bitty. She's 4 years old, and her name is Liberty. Liberty. So I love my little family. And like I said, we moved to Atlanta. Not only did we plant a church about 4 years ago, but we also moved back to Atlanta about 4 years ago. You guys will get to know me quite well of our whole story. So we used to be in Atlanta. Then we moved to Birmingham, Alabama. We were serving at a church called Church of the Highlands. Anyone familiar with Church of the Highlands in Alabama? So we were serving there, loved it for about eight years. And then God kept on putting Atlanta back on our heart. And we were just like, Lord, why? There's so many churches in Atlanta. Do they really need another church? But that's the thing when it comes to God, and he's calling you, you just have to be obedient. And now we see why we are supposed to be in Atlanta. And so things are going well. But when we first moved here, when you move to Atlanta, it's like, where do you even start? Because there's so many Atlanta's big. And so we were told, go by the school zone. East Cobb got the best schools. So we're like, okay, let's go to East Cobb, right? So we moved to East Cobb. My youngest one, Liberty, she's about 3 weeks old. By the way, can I get a clock? Unless I'm missing it, because otherwise I will talk to you guys all day long, all day long. So we're here. I have a baby that's 3 weeks old. We're planting a church, moving, trying to find daycares, just like a lot going on in that season, you know? It was one of those seasons where life was just going so fast, and it was all good things, but I didn't feel like I was in it. Like, I felt like a shell. And have any of you guys ever, have you ever been driving and daydreaming? Yeah. Yeah. And you got to your destination, you're like, holy smokes, how did that happen? Like, I'm talking about a full daydream, like sometimes I'd just be thinking about a show I was watching, and I was like, what if it would have ended like this? Or sometimes, a lot of times, I'm thinking about something I should have said in a meeting or to my husband. I'm like, man, I should have hit him with. But, you know, godly women don't do that, of course. So it was just in my thoughts, purified my mind. So anyway, we can have moments like that where we're just on autopilot. And life comes in seasons like that. There's seasons, Ecclesiastes 3 tells us about those different seasons. Sometimes we seem super present in life. Sometimes we can feel a little disattached from life. Sometimes life is chaotic. Sometimes life is a breeze and it's a bliss. Life comes in seasons. There's a time for everything. But the hard seasons, they have a beginning and they have an end. One thing that should always remain, no matter how many seasons come about, the one thing that should always remain is our connection to God. Our faith, our devotion to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So our assignments may be seasonal, but one constant ought to be our commitment and dedication to him. And that's why the theme verse for this entire night, or day, it's a day, sorry, day, is John 15:4, which says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So my assignment for today is to help us draw closer to him. Not a temporary draw close. Not a fad. Not a, you know, like a diet. I'm talking about, like, I don't want us to ride a spiritual high or a conference high today. I want us to truly be marked by this day. Have a God encounter. You know, a God encounter when it's like no one can take that from you. No matter, like, something crazy could happen in the parking lot, but they can't take that from you. They can't take that. And that's my prayer for all of us today. So, and it's an important topic. It's an important topic, us abiding and remaining, because, hey, as women, as moms, as leaders, we're really good at faking things. Okay, y'all don't want to act like it. You're faking right now. Okay, we're really good at faking things, you guys. Like, we know how to play house. We know how to suck it up and wipe the tears before the kids come around. We know how to stop the argument just in time. We know how to clean up the house because someone's coming over, but everything's in the closet. We're good at faking it. We're good because, and it's not necessarily saying it in a mean way. I'm just saying, like, we have to power through. Some of us are moms. Some of us are just women. It's like we have to look the part sometimes. We have to just, you know, wipe the tears. We have to be strong. And sometimes we're doing it and it's like we're dysfunctional. And we numb ourselves just enough to look presentable and relatable. So it's easy to abide after a day like today. A conference atmosphere, worship music, you know, all the feels. But the tension comes 2 days from now, 2 weeks from now, 2 years from now. What happens when life punches us in the face? What happens when we get a phone call or an email with unexpected news or just bad news? Like your kid gets in trouble. Gosh, that's the worst. I can't stand getting those calls. What happens when the trials and tribulations come our way? Because the Bible clearly states they will. When circumstances are fighting against us, do we cling closer to him or do we let the sails drift us out into the sea? How do we remain consistent and unshaken even when things around us are changing or turbulent? The thing is, those things are gonna happen, but we were not designed to carry it alone. Please hear me. The troubles will come. The things that are not, oh gosh, I can't believe this happened, they will come. But you are not alone. And you are not designed to bury the burden yourself. So many times we can hear that saying, he will never put more on you than you can bear. That's a lie. He will put more on you than you can bear. Because it's never for you to bear on your own. That's the good news. That's the gospel right there. I can leave. Corinthians 10:13 talks, well, yes, sometimes people confuse 1 Corinthians 10:13 when they're talking about temptation can be beyond what you can bear. But once again, that's misconstrued. God will lift the burden. He will carry it for us. He will handle things in his strength, not our strength. But there's one prerequisite to all of this, and it's that we must surrender. Surrender is the word of the day for this session. Yes, abide, but can you even abide if you're not surrendered? We got to get to a point where we're just like, I give up. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Hear me, for without me, you can do nothing. Is that bold? Yes. It's bold. For without me, you can do nothing. So this is like the one time and place in life where it's okay to give up. I know that even sounds cringy and wrong. We don't give up. We're not quitters. In this case, do it. Because what you're giving up is you're giving up your flesh, your fleshy desires. You're giving up your wants, your ways, your plans, your ambitions. And then we're faithing up in his ways and his plans and his desire, his will for our life, which is so much better than what we could ever dream up. I'm talking about that exceedingly abundantly, immeasurably more type of will and plan for our life. So for him to carry our cares and our burdens, we have to release them. It's just like a car title. I was recently just going through that process and I was confused because someone gifted us like this old car. Like, don't act, it's not all nice, but I'm thankful, right? And I'm just like, okay, I have the car, but they're like, yeah, but it's not in your name. And I'm like, oh, is this just a girl thing? Am I the only one where when it comes to car stuff, I'm like, I don't know anything. I'm like, was I supposed to do something? And they're just like, yeah, it's 2 years overdue. I'm like, my bad, I didn't know. I did not know, okay, sorry. But you have to transfer the title is what I'm trying to get at. You two people can't have the title. You have to transfer the ownership. In order to transfer the ownership, you have to let go. You have to release it. I don't know if anyone here in here has a Tesla, but you have to press the self-drive button. And it's scary sometimes. It's really scary sometimes. But sometimes it's just like, let Jesus take the wheel. So we're gonna take a deeper look at what it looks like to surrender, like it's described in Philippians 3, when it says letting go of everything and tossing it in the garbage. We're gonna take a look at surrendering like it's described in Galatians 2:20, to be crucified with Christ, so much so that I no longer live, but it's he that lives inside of me. That's the type of surrender that we're after today. So who's with me? We're ready to surrender? Amen, amen. So the title of this message is Abide Through Surrender. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the word that you are just stirring in our hearts, Father God. Use me, Lord, as a vessel, Lord Jesus. Let me get out of the way, Father God. I pray that this word just falls on soft, soft hearts, Father God. Let them receive, Lord Jesus. Let them transform them, Father God. We thank you for what you're imparting in us today, and it's in your name that we pray, amen and amen. So earlier, you know, I told you about how my husband and I, you know, we moved to Atlanta, planted a church, but what you don't know is I would have never seen this for our lives if it was about 20 years ago. I would have never even saw myself in ministry. I'm originally from Connecticut. Then I went to college in Philadelphia, so I just say I'm from up north. Went to Temple University, got my degree in advertising. Did you say, you Temple? Oh, come on, sis! Hootie hoo! All right, love that. Okay. And so, growing up, I didn't go to church much. I was a creaster. You guys know what a creaster is? Christmas and Easter. Yeah, that's when I go to church. That's when I put on my Sunday best. So yeah, didn't go to church much, didn't have faith as my foundation. I believed in God, but knew nothing beyond that. So I end up moving to Atlanta to pursue my advertising career, right? And that's around the time that I met my husband, who was just a guy I knew at the time. And we have a crazy story that I will keep on unveiling more of it more and more throughout the day. But so I get to Atlanta, and that was the first time I had ever been in the South. Like, I had never been in the South. And when I tell you, I had so much culture shock. So much culture shock in many different ways, but that's for another day. The one area was, man, I was clubbing hard in Atlanta, okay? This is BC life, so don't judge. BC, before Christ. I'm clubbing and everything like that. And the one thing that I noticed is no matter how hard we went on Saturday night, these people were still talking about going to church in the morning. I said, I didn't know you could do both. I literally didn't. So I started going to church. And, you know, I wasn't quick to necessarily give my life to Christ. However, I was intrigued by just what I was seeing. And when I was, because I definitely sensed his presence. I sensed something that was real. But then I saw some inconsistencies that confused me. This was the epitome of causing someone to stumble. Because I wasn't even confused by the people that really far from Christ. You know, I kind of understood that. What I didn't understand is when I saw us talking about one thing and praying for one thing, but then we would do another. And I was just like, I don't get it. I'm talking about like when we're praying, decreeing, like you have counseling for your marriage to be restored, but then you're looking up for a divorce lawyer in your car on the way home. I just didn't understand. Like, if the power of God is real, then why are we using our man ways to solve a problem? So I didn't need an advertising degree to realize that church culture had a marketing problem. And the issue wasn't the product. Church is good, God is good, Jesus is good, the Bible's good, but the representatives just cause confusion. And I'm not, once again, condemning, judging, anything. I'm just sharing my experience. And I don't think the people that I was around were fake. I think that the people I was around were human. And the thing is sometimes when we're trying to follow God, we still hold on to that control. Because the truth is we can know what to say and still not know how to surrender. And that's why I plead with us all so much today to grasp a hold of how to surrender today so that we're not going on autopilot and faking it and pretending. My kids were, I was at a track meet a couple weeks ago. And my little one, I let her play on the iPad as a little treat, as a little reward, and she was trying to work it, but what she didn't realize is there was no Wi-Fi. She didn't have the Wi-Fi, I didn't have my hotspot on, so I just saw her and my other daughter kind of, you know, getting into it, kind of like, oh no, you gotta do this, you gotta do this. They started hitting it, and I'm literally sitting on the bleacher trying to be like, hey, do you guys need help? Hit. And they're not even hearing that I'm trying to help you. They didn't realize that the answer was right there. But I was just sitting there waiting, like, when are you guys gonna give up and ask for my help? And I think that's sometimes how God sees us in life, that we're trying to do, and we don't just give up. And Father God, can you help me? And we're sitting there bumping our heads, hitting the iPad. So we have to master and reach this place of imposture of surrender, not because it's a salvation or a heaven or hell issue, but it can create a hell on earth. Life without surrender leads to frustration and constant striving and feeling like everything depends on you and life can be so heavy. And without surrender, people can still produce activity, but it's not always lasting fruit. Things that produce the world's ROI, return on investment. But when, as believers, we're looking for eternal ROI, eternal impact. So our lives can look very busy, but they can be spiritually dry. Successful, but empty. Active, but disconnected. And that's not what God wants for our life. So the concept of surrendering is simple. However, the act of surrendering can be quite hard. So how do we do it? How do we do this? How do we practically surrender? Because I believe all of us have had a place where we're like, we want to surrender, but sometimes we're really like, no, like, give me a next step of how can I really let go? And that's what I want, the Holy Spirit wants to help us with today. So here are three ways to cultivate a surrendered life. The first one is relate. Relate by building relationships that build your faith. In order for us to walk the walk, we need to get around people that are walking the same walk. We need people that are spurring each other on. Bad company corrupts people, so we need to stay around good company. We need people that won't let us quit what God called us to do. So I call relationships, I think about my relationships, I should say, as up, across, and down relationships. We all wanna have some up, across, up, across, and down relationships, okay? We wanna find people that we look up to. We wanna find people that are a little bit further ahead in their faith walk. Doesn't even have to be in age or whatever. It's just like, they're better at that than me. They have more faith in that area than me. Their marriage is stronger than me. They've been married longer than me. They've been momming it longer than me. They have more patience than me. We want to have those relationships that we are looking up to because you'll need that accountability and encouragement. Then we want to find relationships that are across. These are relationships that keep us company. They're our peers. They're like, we're kind of side by side. And what it does is it reminds us that we're not alone. And I don't know about you, but especially in this season of life, this just might be personally me, I need those relationships so much. Sometimes I really don't even need a scripture or any, I just need to know, like, you're there too, right? Like, am I the only one, right? Do you sometimes cry in the car, right? Okay, I just need to know I'm not alone. Like, I just need those relationships every now and then. And then we need to find relationships that you can pour into, pour down. And when you have those relationships, it keeps you accountable. It keeps you on your toes. Because it puts this burden, a healthy burden, of I have to be able to have something to pour. So I have to live a surrendered life so that I can help this person live a surrendered life. You'll need those reminders when of how to stay and how to remain and be surrendered. Ecclesiastes 4:9 talks about two are better than one. If either of them falls, one can help the other up. Matthew 18:20, where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. So we need women who will pray with us, stand in faith with us, challenge us to believe bigger and better, encourage us when we want to quit, stand in the gap for when we're too weak. And so find those relationships. Today is the perfect day, the perfect environment to lean into those relationships. We're clearly all here because we want more of God. We have a common ground, okay? So this is good. This is a good source for relationships, for the up, the across, or the pour in relationships. And if it's not even here, get in a group. I know your church does groups and has group semesters. There's BSF too. There's mom groups on Facebook, okay? Like, just find community. I mean it, like, desperately seek it, especially since after COVID and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot of people are working from home, and it's more challenging than ever to have real relationships. And I get it. And that's why we really have to pursue it. We have to be truly intentional. Otherwise, we can just do life alone, and we can be like, oh, like, me and God have a thing. But I'm telling you, God wants so much more for you. He made the body of Christ to be members together. We're stronger together. We are shortchanging our lives when we are doing life alone. The second thing to cultivate a surrendered life is to release. We want to relinquish control. Surrender starts where control ends. Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast your anxiety on him. Let go of it. Let him carry the burdens. And I get that this can be hard at first. So sometimes we just have to approach it with bite-sized pieces, small sacrifices. And then those can become more of a habit. And then that habit turns into a discipline. And then the discipline becomes a posture and a lifestyle. That's how it works. So I know the act of surrendering your whole life can seem too massive for some of us. So I'm saying that start somewhere. Start somewhere. Start with one thing that you can let go of. Maybe it's media. Maybe it's your social media. Anything that you think, hey, you know, if I let go of this for a few days, I feel like this would challenge me. You don't want to fast asparagus. If you already don't like asparagus, like, what's that challenge? Or like, oh yeah, I'm not gonna do bread, but you're already gluten-free. That's cheating. Can't do that. Has to be something that's gonna challenge you. Or if you're like, I don't even have social media, so I'll do social media. No. I'm talking about something that is like, it's gonna kind of hurt. It's like, it's gonna burn a little. That's what we want. But just do a little bite-sized burn, okay? A little bite-sized burn. But then it's going to train your flesh. Your flesh, it's like, get down there, flesh. See, like, we want the spirit to be in control. We have to kill the flesh. And this is how we do it, by fasting, by being disciplined. And so if it's TV, if it's a certain show, if it's a type of music, if it's a person, maybe there's some relationships. Maybe there's some chatter in the break room that you need to separate yourselves from. So you identify that and just challenge God. Just challenge him. Be like, okay, I'm gonna do this for a week, Father God, and I'm believing that I will conquer this area. And then you just keep on, you're gonna conquer that area. And then you just find another area. And that is how we can cultivate surrender in our life. Then the last thing to cultivate a surrendered life is to remember, anchor ourselves in truth. We want to anchor ourselves in truth. If we don't remind ourselves of truth, your feelings will rewrite it. Because the moment that we release control, our mind usually wants to try to take it back. So doubt, confusion. Oh, did you really have a moment? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, just confuse us. Belittle the moment that we just had or the revelation that we just had. Confuse it. And that's why we have to be intentional about what we remember. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." Peace is not found in controlling everything. Peace is found in fixing our mind on truth. This is a choice. It's a discipline once again. Psalm 77 says, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all of your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds." It's a decision to remember, to reflect, because when life gets loud, our feelings will once again try to redirect us. So that's why we need scriptures on deck. We need testimonies on deck. We need to be reminded of God's faithfulness. I encourage us all to journal. Journal the thing, the revelation that God gives you in your morning time. Or for me, it's always on a drive. God talks to me so much when I'm driving in traffic. Hallelujah. I guess that's one benefit of traffic, right? And I don't have a notepad then, but I have an Evernote, or I'm sure there's so many other forms of digital note-taking. And I'll speak it so I'm not driving while I'm doing it, you know? But it's just to take those notes, because you need something to reflect on. You need God's word to reflect on. We need to be reminded of God's faithfulness. God was faithful to Elizabeth. He was faithful to Sarah. He was faithful to Hannah. And he'll be faithful to you. And when your mind tries to spiral, we have to confront it. Corinthians 10:5, we take captive every thought to make it obedient. We have power and authority, you guys. We're not some wimps, okay? The power of God is within us. That means that when the devil is trying to throw darts our way, we can grab it and throw it down in the pit of hell where it belongs. Take authority, be confrontational. Once again, this is there's certain areas where you have permission to get a little scrappy, okay? I know we all cute in here and don't want to act like you don't want to fight, but this is okay, all right? You can get a little scrappy with the devil, all right? When he's trying to attack your mind, say, uh-uh, not today, Satan. Because what you remember, y'all ain't going to invite me back. Because what you remember determines how you respond. And how you respond determines whether you remain. So today, I don't want this to just be you just hearing a message about abiding. I want us to make a decision to remain, because the goal is not just a moment with God. The goal is a life with God, not a conference high, not a temporary feeling. Today, God is inviting us into a deeper place of surrender. Some of us need to relate, meaning stop walking alone and allow the right people to strengthen us. Some of us need to release, to finally hand God the thing that we've been trying to control. And some of us need to remember to anchor our minds in truth again, because life has been loud and our feelings have been rewriting the story. And all of us are invited to abide, to stay connected, to stop striving, performing, stop carrying what we can't hold anyway. So if you're weary, God's like, let me lift it for you. If it's heavy, let him pick it up. If you've been functioning and not flourishing, he wants to help us. If we've been close to church but distant from Jesus, if we've been saying all the right things but still holding on to control, today and this moment is your chance to surrender, to release control, to trust him again, and to say, I want to remain. Because the breakthrough that you may be looking for is on the other side of that surrender. Let me pray for you all. Jesus, we surrender. We give you everything, Father God. The control, the fear, the pressure, the plans, the outcomes, the burdens that we've been trying to carry. Teach us to abide in you. Give us hearts that remain connected. Minds that are anchored in truth, Father God. Lives that are fully submitted to you, Father God. We don't want to just visit your presence today, Lord Jesus. We want life transformation. Let us see a new facet of you today. We want to live connected to you every day, Father God. And it's in your name that we pray, amen and amen. Thank you, ladies.